Michael.
I'm Juliana Forlano. You are listening to The Radical Mom, a new show here on WBAI with an old host, me. I used to host the morning show. I also hosted it in the afternoon, evening, 6 o'clock news for a while there. And now I am here very happy to be able to kind of pull it in, still be part of the community, and talk about radicalism and how it affects being a mom or vice versa. We are basically on this show focusing on the formidable task of parenting under the conditions of late stage capitalism. We will be taking your calls. I love the calls. I have missed talking to each and every one of you, even those people who call in just to ruffle my feathers, which is also fun. The show is about how do we protect our kids from capitalism. We don't want capitalism eating our kids. The former show in this time slot, Talk Out of School, needed to move their airtime, and you can find them live on Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern. You can also find them, obviously, on the website, WBAI.org, in the past episodes. It is such a great show, and the Saturday time slot gives, you know, the teachers and parents a chance to hear and interact with the show. So I also want to encourage everyone to check out the wonderful CRT show they did 2 weeks ago. Super important stuff, super good stuff, as we've come to rely on WBAI to provide us. I'm excited to be on right before Michael's show, Living for the City. You heard the plug for the show, but this particular week, he's going to be talking about land use, particularly in Brooklyn, the Brooklyn Botanic Garden area, which I was just in not too long ago. I have a story about that and how it intersects with capitalism a little bit later in the show. And also, he's going to be talking about the Vision Festival. But first, I wanted to give you a little update on some of the things we talked about last week. Now, remember, we're talking about how to protect our kids from capitalism, their minds, their bodies, trying to offer support, wanting to hear about your struggle in this area. And, you know, we can provide each other with a bunch of clarity. As a mom, it is exhausting not just to be a mom for the lack of sleep or the worry or whatever, but now you got to research every single consumer item because things have been deregulated to the point that it's just fine to put poison in your mattress. I've been talking about that. Flame retardants in the mattress. What baby is smoking in their crib? Why you need... Okay. I think it's not like if the whole place catches on fire, the mattress isn't going to burn. Don't put candles next to your baby's bed. I think I can handle that for a mattress that's not soaked in forever chemicals. Anyway, I ranted about that last week. We also talked last week about sunscreen and the entire research area that using sunscreen involves. You got to look. Okay, they have baby sunscreens. Well, why do they have adult sunscreens and baby sunscreens? I mean, aren't adults still human beings that need their health protected? What about, I know baby skin is, and younger people's skin is more, you know, sensitive, etc., but not really. I didn't grow into an elephant as I aged with the thick pachyderm-like skin. I don't want to be poisoned either. But anyway, after talking about that, getting information from the Environmental Working Group, if you missed the last show, you can go there, ewg.org. They talk about which products, they don't endorse products, but they talk about which products have basically the two sunblocks that are supposed to be the safest, the two ingredients is, I think it's zinc and titanium dioxide, and the rest and what the problems are with that. But if you don't want to do a whole research project, they do tell you which ones might be useful. And one of the ones that might be useful is a Trader Joe's spray. How convenient. I mean, and it's inexpensive. So if you go to Trader Joe's, you can pick some of that up. I personally like the spray because I can get it all over without asking anyone to touch me. I can go to the beach, just me. Or go outside, just me, my kid. You know. and try to avoid the dangers of the sun. It's a trade-off. Dangers of the sun? Dangers of the sunblock? But anyway, right after we talked about that, I was checking out the news, and you're not going to believe it. Well, you are going to believe it. Neutrogena, made by Johnson & Johnson, had to recall some of their Neutrogena and Aveeno aerosol sunscreens, the spray-on kind, because of the presence of benzene, a known carcinogen. The company put out an announcement. I'm going to read it to you, and then we're going to dissect the BS. So Johnson & Johnson is, quote-unquote, voluntarily recalling all lots of 5 Neutrogena and Aveeno aerosol sunscreen product lines on the consumer level. Internal testing identified low levels of benzene in some samples of the products. Consumers should stop using the affected products and follow the instructions set forth below. Here are the sunscreen products directly impacted. So run to your front door, your beach bag, your purse, wherever you keep it. Neutrogena Beach Defense, the spray sunscreen. Neutrogena Cool Dry Sport, the spray sunscreen. Neutrogena Invisible Daily Defense Aerosol Sunscreen. And also Neutrogena Ultra Sheer Aerosol Sunscreen. And finally, Aveeno Protect and Refresh Aerosol Sunscreen. Now, I am not an expert in sunscreens, but all that these have in common are they're definitely aerosol ones. And the funny part is, right before I saw this story, I had just sprayed myself with some of the... Okay. I just think it's funny that Johnson & Johnson put out that they're doing a voluntary recall because it suggests that Johnson & Johnson, a family company, they like to throw that around. It suggests that they are, really looking into their products. Internal testing identified low levels. Well, how did the benzene get in there in the first place? Questionable. A spokesman for Johnson & Johnson could not be reached for this segment. But I just love how they put the company announcement out that they're voluntarily doing it. My guess is if they didn't voluntarily do it, they would be forced to do it. This is a great PR job. I'm glad I caught it. Benzene is a human carcinogen. That's how it's classified. It could potentially cause cancer depending on the level and extent of exposure. It is ubiquitous in the environment. They put that, by the way, in their press release. Hey, it's already everywhere. So what are they implying? Just a little bit is not going to kill you? Benzene. I mean, gasoline in Europe, in Italy, is called benzino. I mean, you're going to spread that on yourself? I don't think so. Hey, you can feel free to call in and chime in on, well, any of the issues that we talk about here on the show, but also, you know, what you're doing to try to protect your kids from capitalism. I love having the phone lines open, but I do have a lot of stuff to present. So here's the phone line. Call in anytime, 212-209-2877. The phone lines are open. Michael's going to let me know when we have a call on the line, 212-209-2877. That is not the fundraising line. That's just the call in. Get your voice and concerns on the air. You're listening to Radical Mom. We're going to take a brief break and listen to, well, it's not a break. It's a musical interlude. And I asked some people on the internet, if you want to be part of this crowdsourcing of the show, just follow the show on Twitter. It's The Radical Mom on Twitter, or Radical Mom. It's Radical Mom on Twitter. I asked folks on Twitter what songs reminded them of their parenthood experience. This is about parenting. I just happen to be a radical mom, not a radical dad. And this is a song that came up. It is Bitch by Alanis Morissette.
I hate the world today. You're so good to me, I know, but I can't change.
tried to tell you, but you look at me like maybe I'm an angel underneath, innocent and sweet. Yesterday I cried, you must have been relieved to see the softer side. I can understand how you'd be so confused. I don't envy you, I'm a little bit of everything. I'll roll into one. I'm a bitch, I'm a lover, I'm a child, I'm a mother, I'm a sinner, I'm a saint. I do not feel ashamed. I'm your hell, I'm your dream, I'm nothing in between. You know you wouldn't want it any other way. So take me as I am. This may mean you'll have to be a stronger man. Rest assured that when I start to make you nervous and I'm going to extremes, tomorrow I will change and today won't mean a thing. I'm a bitch, I'm a lover, I'm a child, I'm a mother, I'm a sinner, I'm a saint. I do not feel ashamed. I'm your hell, I'm your dream, I'm nothing in between. You know you wouldn't want it any other way.
Yeah, that was Alanis Morissette with the song Bitch. I love that song. I also love the freedom that she gives in that song about how you know, part of being a mother is being a bitch. You got to set those boundaries. And capitalism doesn't help you set those boundaries, by the way. You walk in the grocery store, they've got sugar in brightly colored packages, poison in brightly colored packages at eye level for kids, and you have to set the boundary for their best interest. I imagine our ancestors way back living on the Great Plains and Serengeti only had to be like, don't eat those berries, they're poison. But the berries didn't have a cartoon tiger on them or something like that. Anyway, this is Radical Mom. I'm Juliana Forlano. You're listening to WBAI. The call-in number here is 212-209-2877. Call in. Happy to talk to you. 212-209-2877. Okay, so we focus on parenting under the conditions of late-stage capitalism. Let's talk a brief bit about one area of late-stage capitalism. Extreme polarization is a hallmark of late-stage capitalism. And then the increasingly absurd and cruel ways our society copes and justifies the stark inequality and the horrible things capitalism and living under capitalism forces people to do to survive, that is called late stage capitalism. Horrible things they cause us to do to survive. I got to choose between poisoning my kid or letting him get a cancer from the sun. Isn't there a middle ground? Anyway, I don't want to go on about sunscreen because I do want to go on about something else. First of all, I very much like to thank the ambulance corps in New York City. This past weekend, I got heat exhaustion. Heat exhaustion. I was walking through. I took my daughter. It was a bad idea. I took my daughter to the Prospect Park Zoo at 10 a.m. on Friday morning. If you remember Friday morning, it was, I don't know, 95 degrees and 1,000% humidity. That might not be exactly accurate. Don't quote me on it. But it was very, very hot, very, very humid. And the air was difficult to breathe, not only in the regular New York City way, but it was more than that. And of course, we will find out in a moment after I tell you this story what's going on there. I'm sure you're all reading about the wildfires in California. Well, they're just recently started reporting about how that smoke has reached New York City and Jersey, Connecticut and Long Island and all of it. The New York Times reporting that on Tuesday, there was a red sun in the sky. Well, I saw it today, too. But this was happening way before because my asthma got kicked up and I got super hot and then I forgot to drink. I didn't actually forget to drink. I had one bottle of water. A big one, but I didn't realize we were going to need more than that, my daughter and I at the zoo. And it was 10,000 degrees and she was thirsty, so I gave it to her. What the mom does. I forgot to do that thing where you put on your own mask before you care for others. You know, that's like a thing in therapy and recovery circles. They say you got to put on your own mask before you can care for others. But when it's super hot, and I think somehow genetically plugged in when you become a mother, you're like, here, have all the water. And then I forgot to have my own water. Anyway, got a little dehydrated. And then I was in the park walking by myself with my daughter and just me. And I forgot how hard it is to get anywhere in New York when it's hot. I didn't feel like I was going to make it to the subway without passing out. I was going to try to walk across the park to get to safety. And I didn't make it. Didn't make it. And it was really terrifying. Mostly, I mean, I was slightly scared for my own health that it wasn't heat exhaustion. It was something else. But I was really scared about just dropping and having my little one just randomly wandering in the park. Or, you know, I'm sure bystanders, I've had nothing but good experiences, honestly, in the parks in New York. People have been wonderful. And they were wonderful again this time. We stumbled into a building, a park building that was closed. But, you know how the universe does you? When you really need something, sometimes it's a miracle. Someone from the staff had just walked in and the door didn't latch completely behind them. I walked in behind and this young man said, oh, I'm sorry, we're closed. I'm like, I'm going to die. So they called the ambulance and the ambulance came. And who pays for that ambulance? We do. And I am very, very happy that late stage capitalism hasn't privatized all of our ambulance systems. Now, the EMTs were there. I recognize the EMTs. Don't make half the salary that they deserve, given what they do and the risks they've been taking, especially under COVID. And they were wonderful, wonderful people. Two young gentlemen, both of color, but from different color groups. I wanted to be like, here, take all the ones that are in my purse, because I know you're not making money. And without you, don't know what would have happened along with the staff. So I do want to thank the ambulance corps. I do want to thank the fact that not all capitalism hasn't eaten everything yet. We still have ambulances. And so, as I did some research as to what happened to me, what happened to my body, I came across the fact that the smoke from the blazes burning in Western U.S. and Canada made its way across the continent and made a haze in New York City and elsewhere on the East Coast. A meteorologist said this. He's been quoted in the New York Times that the smoke or haze that you see is coming from those wildfires out west. And what has caused those wildfires out west? Climate change. I know they usually have wildfires out west, but without climate change, they wouldn't be so bad. They wouldn't be this early. They wouldn't be so uncontrollable because of the drought and the extreme heat that they're having out there. So we got climate change causing things that cause more climate change, and people 2,000 miles away are getting sick. It's not a local problem, as we know. Feel free to call in and tell me if you have experienced that. Did you guys have that? Did you notice that the air was thick and unbreathable in New York City? 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. So the burning of fossil fuels, the lying of Exxon, and the other companies, the deregulation by both parties, Republicans more than Democrats, but both parties do it in this case. Republicans are all for deregulation. No rules. Both parties do it. Well, that went directly into my lungs and left me prone on the cold floor. Thank goodness it was cold. With a crying daughter, very scared. In the Prospect Park Audubon. If you're listening from there, I thank you very much. It was a wonderful thing because one of the workers had a little puppy with them and I could barely talk, but I was like, little one, my girl, do you want to go pet the puppy? And she was like, yes. And it was just like we were totally being taken care of. But it would have been much more difficult for the beautiful processes in the universe to take care of us without the frickin' shared prospect. You know, shared resources, pooled resources that fund an ambulance corps. Eric Adams from New York says that wildfires out west, mostly from Western Canada, by the way, have sent smoke all the way into the city, all the way into Juliana Forlano's lungs, and perhaps your lungs. The smoke is creating the haze. So be careful. There's a picture if you want to check out Eric Adams from Bronx, from the Soundview neighborhood, of the red sun. Hazy skies are not, generally speaking, new in New York, as we know, in the summer. It also happens without smokes. You have those hot, hazy days, in part because of pollution. So this was already a problem. But with that smoke in the mix, oh, the New York State issued an air quality health advisory for yesterday, lasting until midnight, but my guess is it's on for today, too, because of those levels of particulate matter in the air. So be careful if you weren't already keeping your kid. I mean, we got to keep the kids inside for everything now. Oh, it's a downpour. Oh, it's a pandemic. Oh, particulate matter for sensitive groups, which include kids. But they're never allowed to go outside, and outside is what keeps them mentally sane. By late afternoon yesterday, the air quality index was 170, which is well above average, I might say. If you're following the actual science, the concentration of microscopic particulate pollution, called the PM2.5, was 9 times above the exposure recommendations from the World Health Organization. We've got some callers on the line. Let's go to the callers. The number is 212-209-2877, and I look forward to talking to you. Caller, you are on the line. Your name and where you're calling from.
Oh, hello. Yes, my name is Henry, and I'm calling from Jamaica, Queens.
Hi, Henry. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Yes. Well, I'm really enjoying your program, Juliana, you know, because you bring up all sorts of the whole idea that we have to protect our children and ourselves from capitalism. It's not something that I hear people speak of very often, but I'm glad that you're addressing that.
Thank you. I hope I'm doing a service here. These are the things that I think about in my mind when I walk around with a lot of regular people who aren't thinking about this. And WBAI has always had voices of you know, different kind of thinkers on here. So I'm so happy to be a part of the community. Anyway, you wanted to say.
Yes, you know, I'll tell you this. You know, all my life, I've always had people constantly drumming into my head about, you have to be afraid of what communism or what socialism is going to do to you. But look at what capitalism has been doing to us. You know, it's I don't know what to say.
That's a great point. You know, I was reading on the internet about this topic. Someone had written an article, and I'm sorry if I can't quote it directly, but it was like people complaining about communism and how they killed a lot of kids and blah, 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 but they don't ever take into account the amount of kids who die from asthma, which is directly related to capitalism. I mean,
cancer, all kinds of stuff. We just take everything for granted because all our lives, most of us, we've been fed all this stuff about the evils of every other system. But, you know, what about the system that we live under?
How about even a more balanced capitalism? I mean, how about a non-deregulated how about a capitalism that has to go with under rules if you want to go incrementalism instead of revolution?
Well, you know, they tell me that in particularly in the Scandinavian countries in Europe, they say that they have a kind of a capitalism that's mixed, where you have some enterprises that are capitalistic and some that aren't. What you just said about the emergency medical services, and you said that, well, you know, thank God we do have some services that have not yet been privatized. You know, and that's an example. You can have capitalism with public services. The problem
They didn't ask me, do you have an insurance card? They just basically asked my name. They didn't ask me for money. They didn't ask me for anything. They just said, take this ice pack and put one on your chest and one on your back and hope for the best. Your vitals are good. Do you want to go to the hospital? And I said, I don't want to take up space in a hospital. People need it. And, you know, I don't want to catch anything.
Yes, I understand. Yes. Well, you know, but the operative word, what you said, was yet. We haven't privatized emergency medical services. Well, not yet. The problem is that the unfettered capitalism that we have now is poised to swallow everything.
Exactly.
All public services up. And that's where the danger is.
You know, exactly. Because heat exhaustion leads to heat stroke, and strokes kill people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Like today, I could be dead if we were closer to, you know, that stage that you were mentioning of capitalism, them eating up every public service.
Well, you could be dead. Well, you know, we're all thankful that you're not. So, but we do have to keep on guard that, you know, as what you call late stage capitalism continues, all these private services, these public services could be swallowed up and turned into private.
Exactly. You know, and if they were private, you'd have to call I mean, who has the presence of mind when you're having a medical issue to call the proper one that you can afford to come and get you? You know? What do you think about this, Henry? And other people, you can call in and chime in, 212-209-2877.
One other thing I'd like to mention to you, Juliana. That song, Bitch, that you just played?
Yeah.
I believe that song, the actual artist is a woman named Meredith Brooks. I think you said it was by
Alanis Morissette. You know, the one I played was Alanis Morissette singing it, and I'm sorry if
I wasn't aware that it was
originally by Meredith Brooks.
Yeah, they were so similar. You know,
I'm sure they're probably the same.
They're probably good friends anyway.
Yeah, they probably know each other.
They're probably good
one
friends
of them
anyway.
Is making money off the other's remix, hope for the best on all of those.
Yes.
Henry, one of the things that I, and this is a question both for you, I'll let you comment before I move on to the next caller, and also other callers, if you want to call in, 212-209-2877, call me, I'm the radical mom. Mm-hmm. Do you think people can really visualize the fact that capitalism does want to take away your ambulances?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think people are like, well, they won't do that? They're not going to privatize that.
Oh, yes. Sure.
I think there's a big denial around how fast and how far this is going.
Well, they want to get rid of, you know, public libraries. They want to get rid of anything that's public. They want eliminated. this is where we are now.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
You know, it's really sad. You know,
and as a mom, I know some people who are sending their kids to private school, and I know mm-hmm. people whose kids go to public school, and those parents who get to have the ability to send their kids to private school, they're not so much worried about the Delta variant because it's a smaller class size, generally speaking. They have mm-hmm. resources to mitigate right. against, stale air and contagion and spread. So those mm-hmm. parents, it's like really the rich get richer here, the poor get poorer. People who can afford to go to private school can keep their jobs if they have them, the women mm-hmm. and the men, and not be nervous about September because they know that their kid is going to be in school and it's not going to be shut down and they're not going to be able to not go to their jobs. The peace of mind that late stage capitalism causes you drags you away from being able to be a decent parent. You can't mm-hmm. be present with your kid. You can't play with your kid when you got to spend 45 minutes Googling sunscreen, which is a very small part. Yeah. You know, I use it as an example.
I understand. All I can say is, you know, we can only do the best that we can.
Right.
You know, late stage capitalism, you know, particularly for low income people, late stage capitalism isn't offering us very many options.
Tell me about it.
We just try to survive. what we can do is just do the best we can to survive. You know, whether
I think we also have to fight. In addition to that,
we have to fight. Well, the question is, like they say, eventually late stage capitalism will swallow itself up and exhaust all resources and destroy itself.
And by that time, we'll all be dead.
We don't know. Right. We don't know what life will be like after late stage capitalism goes through this process. We don't really know.
Well, we can look. That's true. We don't really know. We can look to other imploding and crumbling systems where there was stability and now there isn't for the bad news of what might come. Henry, thanks so much for the call. I hope you'll call back on another episode.
Thank you very much, Julia. It's been a great pleasure talking to you.
You too. 212-209-2877. I really do love the caller. So even if you have some comment you don't think is going to fit in, feel free to call because these are your airwaves. WBAI is the station of the people. Caller, you are on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Denise. I'm calling from Brooklyn.
Hi, Denise.
This is the first time I've heard you. You're quite good. I'm very happy to hear your voice and what
you
have to say.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, you know, for a little bit, I was listening to a program a little earlier at 7, and I'm very concerned about WBAI being careful not to mislead, not to have misleading programs. Because, you know, BAI listeners, like, we know what time it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that
is there a particular, subject?
Multiracial. You know, we understand the dynamics of things. You were speaking about capitalism. I always call it wealthism. And if you're not part of that group who are quite wealthy, then you are considered a minority, and you are treated as such. And the WBAI, the listeners, at least a lot of them do, but some of the program that I'm seeing is starting to become being produced as if it's only a black thing, it's a white thing, it's a Spanish thing, it's a gay thing, it's a capital thing. You know, that's really what it's about. And if you don't generate a lot of money, no matter what color, what race, what religious background, what proclivity you may have, you are like, as they say, grass.
Yes.
You know? So, you know, I really want, I'm glad that you're on. I'm glad that you're speaking in this way, you know, to have, so that all mothers, because what you said is what any mother would say, a Spanish mother, a black mother, a Chinese mother, you know.
Right.
You're going to give your child water, you know, if you don't have a lot. You're going to be afraid if you're sick because your child is going to be frightened about that situation. You want to make sure that he or she is safe, you know, even though you're, like, struggling. You know, your voice is universal. And WBAI is a universal station. Thank you.
I agree. I'm hoping, a lot of times when you talk about the oneness of issues of the 99.9% versus the 1%, there's criticism about, well, this community has this issue and this community has that issue. And I don't deny that specific communities are having specific issues, like immigrant communities. If you're not an immigrant, you're not fighting, you know, you can be fighting in solidarity, but different communities have different issues. But we all have this issue of being eaten alive by late stage capitalism. And I think the mother's love and the father's love, any kind of love, really, but my, you know, the mother's love, the unkillable, unsmushable, even if your mom was very difficult, whatever, that love is the thing that is anti-capitalism. So part of this show, and I appreciate you calling because it helps me to kind of define for listeners, for myself, what this show is. We just launched last week. It is to talk in that voice of oneness without saying, well, your issues, you should give up all your issues. We should all be one. Everybody's colorblind and all of that. So hopefully WBAI will be able to have a balance where certain shows talk about that oneness and certain shows can talk about specific issues. Unfortunately, there's not 15 WBAIs like there are cable news networks where we can hopefully have, you know, enough programming to cover all that. But I hear your concern,
but, you know,
and I thank you so much for
calling. I want to just interject one more thing.
Sure.
I've been listening to BAI for a very long time. And the listeners, as I said before, are aware.
You know,
they awaken to the reality of things. And it's time for our station to take a step up so that we can look at the overall problem, the fundamental problem. You know, so that we can address some of these things. And what you're speaking about, which is wealthism, which is a small segment of people who want to draw all of the wealth from our country and not pay any of the taxes, you know, and just take everything from us, all the things that we have earned. And everybody has to wake up to that. And BAI is that kind of a station. And I'm going to say to you that the listeners, become part of the CAB, you know,
the community board. Yes, absolutely.
And so that the listener's voice can become more prominent. You know, we're having an election. I was looking at the forms for the election, and they kind of, as the kids would say, jiggy. I wasn't really. I'm going to let somebody else get on. Thank you so much, Julianne.
Thank you so much. Thanks for your call. You're listening
to
the Radical Mom on WBAI. We are the little station that keeps on going for decades in the face of any number of things that are trying to crush us. Last time I was in the studio, someone was trying to lock me out. It was before the pandemic as a host. The call-in number is 212-209-2877. We're going to take a brief musical interlude to let you call in and let Michael answer. And you could say hi to Michael and then you can come on the air and we can talk. This song coming up, I Try by Macy Gray. It's the kind of thing. That's how I feel every day as a mom. Sometimes I fail. They need a song for that, too. Here's the song, I Try, Macy Gray.
I believe that fate has brought us here, and we should be together, babe. But we're not. I'll play it off, but I'm dreaming of you. And I'll keep my cool, but I'm feeling I try to say goodbye and I choke. I try to walk away. Stumble, though I try to hide it, it's clear. My world crumbles when you are not there.
little Macy Gray. I mean, try to say goodbye and I choke. The song is kind of about love, but I do remember the first time I dropped off my daughter at like a child care place and I lost it. More to say on that in another show about the structure of our society. Why do I have to drop my kid off at a child care place so I can go to work? So that somebody else goes to work and watches my kid for my money, that I go to work and produce something for some other corporation. I mean, I am one step off the immigration boat. I've talked about this before. And one step away from being a peasant farmer in my family. That's my grandparents and my parents. Well, my one parent. Before they came here and got eaten up and killed by industrialization. But at least we were able to buy a Pontiac. Oy, it's tough. You got to balance that life in the day and enjoying it. Enjoying your life, hopefully, to the best of your ability under these conditions of capitalism. We got callers on the line. I'm rambling. More on that later. You can call in, get yourself on the line. We got a couple minutes left in the show, so that's good, about a couple minutes. Yeah, we have enough time for callers. 212-209-2877. This is The Radical Mom. I'm Juliana Forlano. Let's take our next caller. Caller, you are on the air. Your name and where are you calling from?
Denise. I'm calling from Livingston, New Jersey.
Hi, Denise.
Hi. And I'm late in tuning in to the program. So I just wanted to find out if you can define late-stage capitalism to the listeners that are late to coming onto the show.
I can. Thank you for asking. That's an excellent question. So the definition is, as human labor becomes unnecessary, the rate of profits and profitability and income for those workers, but profitability for larger companies tends to fall. So there are the larger people, the one percenters, the pezzi novanti, as they used to call them in Italy. Those folks try to scramble and take up all the resources, what we've obviously been seeing for the last, well, four decades. But now it's pretty extreme. And then there are the very poor who just can't even afford, you know, you have to work, I say this a lot, you have to work an hour to buy sanitary napkins, one pack. I mean, that's ridiculous if you're working, you know, in an industry that we absolutely need, like people who distribute food. So that new extreme polarization, the increasingly absurd and cruel ways our society copes and justifies the stark inequality and the horrible things that capitalism forces people to do, like we've been talking about this at the beginning of the show. I talked about sunblock. You have to either choose to let your kid be out there with, you know, the sun, which causes melanoma, or you buy some sunblock that you can afford, which also very has expensive stuff in it that causes melanoma. Or if you're rich, you can buy the good stuff. That's kind of how it works. So you don't have to make those choices, those horrible choices that you have to make under capitalism, specifically late stage capitalism, that forces people, you know, in order to survive. That's the stage of capitalism. There are other stages, but this one is late stage.
Absolutely.
Did I do it?
Thank you very much. Yes. Thank you very much. I'm enjoying your show. I'm a first time listener, but I definitely will tune in going forward.
Thank you. This is the second show, so you're you're a first-time listener because we haven't been on, so that's great. And thank you so much for the call. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate the reminder to sometimes repeat the stuff in the second half of the show that I've also been on in the first half of the show. Again, the show is called The Radical Mom. My name is Juliana Forlano. All right, tomorrow is Emma Lazarus's birthday. She's a poet. You may recognize her from your last trip when your cousins were in town and you had to go to the Statue of Liberty, because nobody wants to take their kid to the Statue of Liberty, especially when it's hot. Oh, no. Okay. It costs a lot of money. The school might do it at some point. And it is hot and miserable. But anyway, yeah, like by the time you go visit the Statue of Liberty, you are the poor, the tired, and you are huddled masses inside the one air-conditioned booth in that boat, and you are yearning to breathe free. So Emma Lazarus was right back then. She is that poet who wrote, "Give me your tired, poor, huddled masses yearning to breathe free." She was born into a wealthy New York family, descended from Sephardic Jewish Americans, and she displayed an early talent for poetry, and she was aware of what you do when you're wealthy. You seem to have access to all of this information about how you do things. Her father encouraged her to, which I think is wonderful, a man encouraging a woman in that age to write those poems, even though most of published poetry was male or women pretending to be men. Anyway, we won't get into the history of poetry, but she did display that early talent for poetry. Her father thought she was wonderful and said, "Let's put it all in a book." And he gave it to friends and family members. And although a lot of the biographies about Emma Lazarus say she attracted the notice of Ralph Waldo Emerson, she actually sent it to Ralph Waldo Emerson, who, you know, there was no internet. What else was he going to do? He read it and he said, "Hey, this is good." And he became one of her mentors. Her first poem was The New Colossus. It was chosen to be displayed on the base of the Statue of Liberty. It gives you those famous lines. Tired, poor, huddled masses yearning to be free. You can still call in, by the way. 212-209-2877. We're still yearning to be free, as it turns out. Very interesting. Okay, I'm going to read the poem, the whole in its entirety, for fun. Who doesn't need a poetry break during their life? And which busy mother has time for it? So here it is. This is The New Colossus. And please excuse my Brooklyn-y, old-timey English and Italian as the same language kind of bleeding in there. Dialect. As I read you this beauty, The New Colossus by Emma Lazarus. Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with conquering limbs astride from land to land. Here, at our sea-washed sunset gates, shall stand a mighty woman with a torch whose flame is the imprisoned lighting. And her name, Mother of Exiles, from her beacon hand, glows worldwide welcome. Her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame. She's talking about Brooklyn. "Keep ancient lands your storied pomp," cries she with silent lips. "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." And at that time, that poem was put on the biggest Statue of Liberty thing that we had. That was the sentiment. So popular, so beautiful at that time. Of course, all of those huddled masses, wretched refuse of other teeming shores, came over and became the bedrock of corporate and capitalist endeavor. Of course we need people from over there, whether we take them by force or we encourage them with the fact that maybe over here you won't starve to death. Come over. You can build our cities with your bare hands. You can build our corporations. And then one, two generations later, one of those rich guys will try to orbit into space with all of his money instead of paying his employees a living wage. Who am I talking about? You can call in on our call-in number if you want. Make the final comment. As a show, turns its final corner. 212-209-2877 is our number. Who is that that I'm talking about? Yep. Also, if you know, then you can call. And just briefly, I wanted to mention that in the New York Times, which happens to be the paper of record, I like to call it paper of broken record, there's a piece called The Upshot, The Shorter Hours, No Promotions, How the Pandemic Stalled Son Parents' Careers. You can tell they're talking to, like the middle class there. Because the working class don't necessarily have careers there. We have jobs. Anywhere. Disruption to childcare is what they were talking about. I'm personally very frightened that there won't be any school. We need school. And that's a whole nother thing. You should listen to the show that used to be on in this time slot, which is now on Saturday at 1, talk out of school, to talk in and out of everything that has to do with education in the New York tri-state area. This is WBAI. Anyway, economists are calling the intensive margin, which is how much people work as opposed to how many are in the labor force. All right, wait, we got a caller. I want to talk. I'm going to kick this into the next week's show about, I want to make time for the callers, about the shorter hours and the no promotions and the careers. Okay, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Juliana, thank you so much for being
here. Hey, who's this?
You, Scott from Jersey City.
Hey, how are you?
I'm glad that you're back, and I'm glad that you survived being in the time of Central Park.
Yeah, that was scary. I'm still not feeling all that well, but being on the air makes me so happy. Anyway, we have 1 minute. I would love to hear what your thoughts as we close out the show.
Oh, I'm just thankful that I can go to the moon if I'm vicariously by my capitalist leaders.
Yes. Don't you feel happy? I mean, what do you need with Medicare?
Ooh, what a shock. November, I'll have Medicare. Don't worry.
Oh, that's wonderful. No, I mean, you know, medical care. That's what I meant. You don't need medical care. This guy's going to the moon. Yay. And, you know, you can't even feel good about it because he paid for it himself like an asshole. Ooh. Oh, my God. I mean, if we had all paid for it, when we pay for NASA and we achieve something
as
a society, we can all feel good about it. We can feel proud about it. We can feel like, hey, we did something. Look at us as Americans, but not the way this happened. This is like, what? You're stealing money in a vicious way. Hey, I loved your call. And I'm glad you knew who I was talking about. Are you still there? All right, we're out of time. You're listening to The Radical Mom. Follow me on Twitter. Well, follow the show on Twitter. It's under Twitter at Radical Mom if you still feel cool being on Twitter. Definitely follow WBAI on Twitter. Find us on WBAI.org. Support the station. Obviously, they're in a fun drive. Here's a beautiful song to end the show out that really brings out that beautiful feeling we were talking about, which is the love that you have for your child, no matter how it worked out. And I think that's the love that we can all relate to, and that's the kind of love that can overturn this late stage capitalism, or at least will grow up out of the embers. I'm Juliana Furlano. Thanks so much for letting me talk at you. I'll see you next week.
I know that it hasn't been easy. I hope that I love like you do, cause I know that this world would be better if everyone had a mother like you. You make the best macaroni. We never cared that it came from a box. Mom in the stands always clapping her hands, started cheering and still haven't stopped. And you held me when I came home crying. Someone said something that just wasn't true. I always said that Janelle was my best friend, but really, it's always been you. I know that I haven't been easy. I hope that I love like you do, 'cause I know that this world would be better if everyone had a mother like you. Mother like you. Our second was born in September. I still can't believe I have kids of my own. I look in their eyes and I can't help but wonder.
All right. Thank you, Juliana Forlano. And thank you for the mention earlier in the program. Stale air, did you say, Juliana, earlier in the show? In a closed room with no ventilation? Yeah, I'm gonna say it. In a closed room with no ventilation. All right, Living for the City is upcoming, so please stay tuned.
'Cause I had a mother like you.
David Kenny of Everything Old is New Again, every Sunday night at 10. Please join me then, and please support WBAI at our brand new old number, which is 212-209-2950. Again, that's 212-209-2950. Hey, it's our old number, but it's new again, 'cause everything old is new again. I like it.
And you're too.